to Lugano Pico Sinaring 09 Church on the 7th Sunday of Easter, 24th of May 2020. This is the last Sunday of Easter season. And next Sunday is Pentecost, the day when Jesus' followers in the upper room received Holy Spirit. By the way, my name is Irun Kim, the minister of LPUC. While I'm leading the service and preach, and Greg is going to read the Bible and Denise is going to pray later in the service. Focus of this week is Jesus' prayer in the Gospel of John chapter 17. In this prayer, Jesus prays for his disciples and for those who would believe and follow him because of disciples' ministry and their word. Hopefully you may learn something and you may take something from today's service. This morning, there are three prayer stations in the church. The first prayer station is to pray for the world and our nation as we seek to understand and find a way to stop the spread of COVID-19. We may pray for peace and justice for the world and our nation and pray for God's wisdom and direction for the leaders and so on. The second station is to pray for the church. Now remember, Jesus gave the church the job of reaching the world with the gospel that cannot be done without prayer. The third station is to pray for people who may need physical healing and strength, spiritual renewal, peace, comfort from God. You may think of your own prayer points, and you may write them on a piece of paper or on your iPhone or iPad note. And then, later in the service, we can have a time to pray. Okay, now let us worship God together by singing the first song, Blessed Be Your Name. Please don't hesitate to sing this song with your family and friends at home.
Streams of abundance.
Today I have a few announcements. Firstly, thank you for the comments after last Sunday's online church. Several people mentioned about names of LPS members on the screen. That was good and a kind of personal touch. However, few people had some difficulty to find their name on the screen. So to find your name, what you can do is pause this video, this online church, and check your name on this screen, and you can do it right now. Secondly, we are having a virtual morning tea today around 11:15 after online church. In order to manage our gathering more operatively, I'll give you a couple of rules. First, once you sign into the Zoom meeting, then please mute your audio. That can be found on the bottom left-hand corner of the computer screen. For iPad, it is located on the top right-hand somewhere of your screen. And remember, there will be a turn to speak, so please be patient for your turn. Otherwise, it will be very noisy if all of us speak at the same time. Let us have a fun together soon. If you have any problem, please let me know that today on email on the bottom of the screen or phone number so that we would figure out, so you can join with others on Zoom. Lastly, for next Sunday online church, I'm going to invite Mess Church families. As the Mess Church team is going to organize and lead craft ideas and home in the service. So why don't you invite other family members, friends to online church so we would have a fun together next Sunday. Thank you. Today's Bible reading is taken from John chapter 17, verses 6 to 11 and verses 20 to 23. This is Jesus' prayer for his disciples and for all people. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And now verses 20 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. This is the word of the Lord. does it feel like to have someone praying for you? By name, in person, one-on-one. For me, when someone brought me to God in prayer, I find that utterly humbling, slightly embarrassing, and wonderfully encouraging. I just say, what a blessing it is to know that someone is praying for me. Here John recounts for the church when Jesus prayed for them and for us, and what a prayer it is. Reading it is like overhearing a conversation between Jesus and the Father. As if we were listening at the door, hearing what they really thought about us, what they are concerned about for us or wanted for us. If you read the chapter 18, you can find that this prayer comes just hours before his agony in the garden and the suffering of his cross. In contrast, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have Jesus praying for God to remove this cup of suffering. John, on the other hand, presents a very different kind of prayer. This prayer focuses on unity and for the disciples to be blessed in their work. For John, it is as if the point now is, how do we move forward? The prayer's point lies in Jesus' request that God will protect the disciples, the church, and keep them unified. While we cannot know what will happen to the early believers at this point in John's Gospel, the fervent hope and prayerful expectation that may not be divided in vision or purpose is moving. In this prayer, Jesus prays for his disciples, the ones God has given him, the ones who have received his word, the ones who will carry his word into the world. And he prays for those who would believe and follow him because of the disciples' word and his prayers for you and me. Now let us look at the text. What we can find from the text is that, firstly, Jesus' prayer is about unity. See verse 11. Jesus prays for his disciples, saying, I will remain in the world no longer, but they, disciples, are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus prays not only for his disciples, but for those who will believe in him, believe in Jesus through their message. He prays, verse 21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. They may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Apostle Paul will pick up the theme when he calls the Ephesians to the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace with one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and in all and through all. And when we hear Jesus' prayer and look at the life of the church today, you cannot help but wonder what it must do to the heart of Jesus Christ. We could listen to the arrogant and self-righteous comments on a religious media these days, degrading other Christians who hold different political views, sure that they are right and everyone else is wrong, and often misrepresenting and misquoting and exaggerating someone else's position in order to show how unchristian they are. In a day when our nation and world are divided by heated political rhetoric and religious fundamentalism, there is a desperate need for the church to model the kind of inclusive community where we can discover a unity beneath our diversity and oneness amid our differences, the gracious community in the body of Christ. Jesus prayed for the church is that we would come together across the divisions, breathing race and clan and national allegiance and liberal and conservative, creationist and scientist, management, labor, city and suburban, rich and poor, black and white, as one body in Jesus Christ. That we come together celebrating our diversity and sharing our differences, but building upon the strong foundation of our common faith in Jesus Christ. I read a story about a brief conversation taking place in an airport boarding area. Two people in quite similar suits with equally similar briefcases sit down side by side. They strike upon a conversation.
I see you are reading the Bible.
Yes, I am.
May I ask, is it King James Version or Revised Standard Version?
King James, of course.
So then you are a Christian?
Yes, I am.
Born again?
Definitely.
Baptized?
Yes.
Immersed or sprinkled?
Fully immersed.
Pentecostal?
Yes, I am.
And in your worship, do you use old style hymns or contemporary music?
Contemporary.
Organ or praise band?
Praise band.
Video screen?
Of course.
And what about the preacher?
Well, I am the preacher.
Oh, so am I.
Wonderful.
Seminary trained?
Yes.
And do you preach with the notes or without?
Without.
Wooden pulpit or plexiglass?
Plexiglass.
Plexiglass pulpit? Well, it's obviously we have nothing in common. You know, Jesus' prayer is still that they may all be one. Just look at this group of people Jesus gathered at this Last Supper table. There are Matthew, formerly known as Levi, publican despised by Pharisees, evangelist who wrote the Gospel of Matthew, and there is Philip, who was a disciple of John the Baptist, naive, shy, sober mind. Mark, men like Simon the Zealot gathered with a group of women like Mary Magdalene and the other women. Sons of Thunder, James and John, alongside reflective, thoughtful Thomas the Doubter. Jesus claims them all as a gift from God. And around the table, he creates a new community of love and grace. Jesus didn't come to create an in-group which would benefit everyone else. Jesus wanted to create a common in-group which is sought to welcome, not to conquer or vanquish others, but to save them, redeem them, bless them, love them, befriend them, and embrace them. From the text we can find that Jesus prays that they, disciples and churches, may all be one, so that the world might believe. Jesus says he has sent his disciples into the world in the same way God the Father has sent him. Now he prays for us to be one so that the world might believe. Christian unity and fellowship within the body of Christ have one clear purpose: to enable the church's mission and witness so that the world might believe. Sometimes we get it all turned around, as if unity and fellowship within the life of the church was for my benefit, our benefit, to make us feel good and comfortable and caring. I guess you may know or hear of a similar story of this. There was a woman who was truly one of faithful Christians who helped create warm, caring fellowship within the congregation. She used to say, "Oh, we just love our little church. It is just like family." And it was. If you were part of the family, it was wonderful. But if you were an outsider, a newcomer, a stranger, or visitor, You could also tell it was like family, but it felt as if you had dropped in on someone else's family reunion, and you knew you didn't belong. No wonder it has remained to this day a small family church. Unfortunately, that's typical of too many congregations nowadays. A United Methodist Church bishop once addressed this some years ago, saying, "There is one number in our denomination which keeps growing, going up. It is the number of churches which haven't received even one person as a new member by profession of faith. That number is up to 43%. Describing too many of our churches and too many of our members or other participants in the meeting that we are producing a generation of religious consumers who are always looking for what the Lord can do for them, instead of committed disciples who are looking for what we can do for the Lord. Jesus calls us together as one, not just so we can enjoy the cozy comfort of little family. Jesus calls for oneness, unity in the life of the church, so that through our life together, the world will come to know the love of God made known in Him. Without unity, the purpose of mission is ambiguous. Oneness in the body serves the purpose of witness in the world. Jesus prays for us to be one so that the world may believe. Being the church is not easy, even at the best times. We are called to be true to our tradition, while at the same time being open to the indwelling and transformative presence of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have to hang on to yesterday, and other times we are called to let it go. Perhaps the key lies in the call to unity that seeks understanding and strength as we reach out in service. We may ponder today, how do we continue the Christ's life, especially in this pandemic, maybe after that. John Landmark says, things can get risky, uncertain out there in the world, dangers to abound. But our trust in Jesus' prayer allows us to step out in faith and to continue stepping forward. Christ holds us in prayer. So Jesus prays for those people He sends. So may we pray as those who are sent. Go in peace. Amen. Jesus was praying for us and Christians everywhere. To follow His example, I would like to encourage you, invite all worshippers today to pray for those people. You may write on a piece of paper or in your mind or heart while our music is played. So let us take a time to pray for those people. Let us do that. Father in heaven, holy is Your name. Your kingdom come. As it is in heaven, our Father in heaven, lead us on into temptation, but God deliver us from the enemy.
Now let us pray for the world and Australia. Thank you, Lord, that all nations have agreed to have an independent inquiry into the cause of COVID. Please give them wisdom to those who are finding out. And we pray for relations between China and Australia, for resolution to be found by leaders so trade can continue and peace be gained. We do pray for our world leaders, that they would seek the best for their people. We pray for wisdom and guidance for Scott Morrison and each state premier, especially in decisions in managing the health and economic issues resulting from COVID-19. We praise you, Lord, for schools reopening in both South Korea and here, and for Europe beginning to reopen after the lockdown. We pray today for those in India and Bangladesh in the wake of the devastating storm, for those who have lost loved ones and homes, and also for those affected by the floods in Michigan and for those in Indonesia affected by the tornado. Lord, we pray too for peace in the Middle East. And we pray for Brazil and Russia, where the COVID cases are increasing, that you might help them to be able to treat it. We pray for Mexico, for wisdom to deal with the drug gang violence. Lord, we ask that you might bring your love, your reconciliation, your justice to our world today. Amen. Now let us pray for the church. Lord, we give you thanks that churches have been able to meet by online services, and we thank you for those using their gifts and abilities to make this happen. We thank you for Ilum and Natalie and Church Council in their leadership of our church, and we pray your continued leading them by your Holy Spirit. May we, believers, your church, draw close to you and build each other up as your body of believers. May you show your church how to take your message of hope to our communities and out to the world. Protect your church from Satan and from disunity within. May you help the church to stay in humble dependence on you. Keep our hearts grateful for your love, your forgiveness, and the assurance of salvation. Lord, may the church be authentic and selfless, reflecting Jesus. May your church be united in Jesus' love, so outsiders will want to come in. May your church reflect your glory and give you glory back. Amen. Now let us pray for our people. Lord, we bring before you today Bill and Gina, that you might help them in having their temporary visa approved. We bring before you Bob Winham, and we give you thanks that he is now home. Please give him good healing and good recovery from the new treatment. We lift before you Joan Jordan, that she will be able to come home on Monday. And for Elizabeth Russell, for strength and for peace, as the treatment has now finished. And we pray for Coral as she goes to day surgery on Wednesday, Lord, that all would go well. We pray for good recovery and healing for Arlo from his tonsils and adenoids removal. And we pray that all would go well for Mark Boole having surgery and for a good recovery. And next week we pray, Lord, for all teachers as they face the many changes, the challenges, returning to full school duties. We think of the Year 12 students particularly to manage their studies for the exams that will be coming later this year. And Heavenly Father, we just bring before you many people who are suffering hardships of many kinds through these days. Come close to them. Bring your comfort, support and love. Thank you that you hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, Amen.
This is an end of today's online church. However, if you are willing to get connected with us or simply having any question or inquiry, please contact me via email on the bottom of the screen or phone number. And also I'd like to encourage you to get connected with your family and all friends via online church. So why don't you encourage them to watch and talk about, you know, online church, talk about faith, talk about Christian journey with them later. Now as we conclude the service, we may say to each other again, go in peace. God loves you and I love you. Remember, we did this in the last Sunday. So if you worship with your family and of others, then you may say to every other person at your home, saying, go in peace. God loves you. I love you. If you are alone to participate in this online church, then you may say yourself, go in peace. God loves me. I love you, God. Hope you may enjoy this online church and hope you have a very blessed day and week, and see you next week. I got no worries, got no woes, feeling happy, that's me.